Welcome to this special episode of the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. If you've eaten produce from California, then you've probably been nourished by waters from the McLeod River, also known as the Winnemem River, that feeds into irrigation canals to grow your food. If you've enjoyed the beauty and power of Mount Shasta and the surrounding areas, then you've been nurtured by the waters that flow through the McLeod River. And while you may have never heard of this river, you've most likely been in connection with it in one way or another if you live in the United States. And although it may be far away from where you live, its waters have most likely influenced your life. And a critical part of these waters are the Chinook salmon that run and spawn here. The salmon are a keystone species in the northwest of the United States, and their existence is being threatened. Less than 1% of the salmon that used to run this river now return to spawn. Drought, rising water temperatures, a giant dam, and loss of habitat all threaten the remaining salmon. Ancient allies and relatives of these salmon are the indigenous Winnemem Wintu people, who have thrived on this land for thousands of years until settlers came and colonized their ancestral homelands. Today, this federally unrecognized tribe is working against all odds to bring to life a vision of returning the salmon to these waters. Over 70 years ago, salmon eggs from the McLeod River were sent around the world, and evidence points in the direction of descendants of these McLeod River Chinook salmon living and thriving in a river in New Zealand, where they are healthy, disease-free, and ready to return to the McLeod River. The Winnemem Wintu people are raising the funding to have the salmon in New Zealand genetically tested at the requirement of the U.S. government to prove they are the descendants of the McLeod salmon before bringing them home to be reintroduced into the McLeod River. The necessary funding must be raised before the end of June to do this work because the winter spawning salmon are about to run in New Zealand and the time to test is now. If you feel called to donate to this cause, you can go to bit.ly/salmonwillrun. Again, that is bit.ly/salmonwillrun. And listen on for a conversation about the salmon, the Winnemem Wintu people, about environmental and indigenous activism, and about how each and every one of us is a vital part of the collective who cares for the land, the wilderness, and the co-creative partnerships between humans and nature. No matter where you live, there is something you can do locally or abroad to help protect and nurture the waters and lands that nourish you. Okay, welcome to this extra special episode where we are partnering with the earth, the water, the salmon, and two very special ladies, Neria and Ayana, which I always want to say, Ayana. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
Yeah. And Neria, do you want to say a prayer for us as we open up this special episode?
Yes, I would be honored. So just giving thanks to the sacred guardians of the four corners of the universe, to the ancestors of the land on which we all find ourselves, which for me today is Kalapuya land here in what is now known as Eugene, Oregon. Giving thanks to this day, to the sun, to Mother Earth for allowing us one more day of life here. I just want to ask Creator and Creatress to bless us and to help open our hearts, to tap into the wisdom that we all carry in good spirits for, so that we may be able to touch hearts and connect and share this wisdom to all the relatives who will listen to this conversation. Creator, I ask that you bless my sister Natalie, Ayana, Chief Kalin Sisk, the Winnemem Wintu tribe, everybody who's doing this work right now, so that we can continue to make this prayer louder as we continue to work towards the restoration and protection of our waters for ourselves and for our future generations. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our life. Thank you for our health. Aho.
Thank you for that, Nydia. And so, dear listeners, this is a very special episode because we are gathered here to talk about a project to bring the salmon from the McLeod River at Mount Shasta back home to the McLeod River. And they are currently living in New Zealand. And we'll reveal what all this is as we get deeper into this conversation. But Nydia, you want to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about what your part is in this project?
Thank you. Yes, I would love that. So my name is Nydia Alicia, and I have the privilege and the honor to be working right now with Honor the Earth in support of Chief Kelly and Sisk and the Winnemunwintu project in the Winnemunwintu tribe on this really special and quite epic project, which is to bring back the descendants of their salmon, the descendants of the salmon that used to spawn on the McLeod River. And so a little bit of background information on the Winnemunwintu tribe. Their traditional territory is where present-day Lake Shasta is located. And about, I think, 70 years ago when they installed the Shasta Dam, over 70 years ago, the Winnemunwintu tribe were flooded out of their ancestral territory. And when the Shasta Dam was installed, it not only flooded out the Winnemunwintu people, but it blocked the salmon from returning to their ancestral spawning grounds. And in the cosmo visions of the Winnemunwintu, they came out of the spring that feeds the McLeod River along with the salmon. And so these are fish who were taken from the waters where Creator put them. And way back in the day, the elders, the Winnemem elders, never could have imagined that our salmon populations would be on the verge of extinction like they are today. Back in those days, there used to be four runs of salmon, and salmon ran every season. And so before the dam was installed, there was a fish hatchery on the McLeod River, and salmon eggs were sent from that fish hatchery all over the world. And these salmon eggs from the McLeod River survived in New Zealand. And so in 2004, when the tribe did a war dance on the Shasta Dam, telling the federal government that they were opposing the dam raise proposal because it would flood the remaining of their sacred sites, news went around the world, and the Maori relatives in Aotearoa, which is now known as New Zealand, they contacted Chief Kelly and Sisk and the tribe, and they said, "We have your fish. Do you want them back?" So this project is an effort to bring back those fish and restore the runs that are severely endangered here in California.
Great. Thank you. And it's interesting. We'll get into why the salmon matter on so many levels. And Ayana, you bring another perspective here from this greater ecological picture as well. And so do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about this project from your perspective?
Yeah, thank you, Natalie and Nydia. So my name is Ayana Young, and I'm the founder of For the Wild, which is a ecological restoration and conservation organization that deals with biodiversity enhancement, and specifically in Cascadia, which is the temperate rainforest region spanning from Northern California to Southeast Alaska. And the importance of this project is beyond words, really. And, you know, what Nydia and I were talking about when we started to be brought together by the salmon is, what's going to happen if we don't stand up to protect this species? what is going to happen if we decide to sit back and allow this species that has literally been the keystone for entire cultural and ecological systems to go extinct. And Nidia and I both know deeply that we can't allow that to happen on our watches. So when we think about salmon, you know, it's kind of interesting because salmon has become this really kind of edible fish that people know of from, you know, almost every market, every Costco across the country is, you know, you can see this like usually dyed salmon. It's not even a natural salmon color. They add coloring at this point. And so it's become this really domesticated fish in a way. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. But what we're not seeing in the mainstream is really understanding the cultural and ecological significance of this species. So for the Winnemem-Wintu and for all of the native people of Cascadia, salmon were literally the life force of how they survived. And that is also true for the trees and the bears and the deers and the wolves. And so when we think about if we could imagine salmon not returning, which we are actually seeing now, salmon are going through an incredible extinction crisis, all the way from Northern California up to Southeast Alaska. So we're seeing these creeks that used to have literally millions of salmon returning every year. And a lot of these creeks have down to zero are returning. And so what does that mean for our ecosystems and especially these forest ecosystems? Well, when we think about these forest ecosystems, it's the biggest trees in the world up the coast of Cascadia. Well, why are they the biggest trees in the world? They're the biggest trees in the world because of the nitrogen that the salmon bring in when they live in the ocean. And when we've seen hundreds of years of logging and we're having these plantation forests grow back, these forests that are not biodiverse in the way they were hundreds of years ago, and now on top of that, without the fertilizer, and then we're also seeing habitat destruction for all the other species. If we allow salmon to disappear, we don't even understand the full extent of how this will affect some of the most incredible, largest forests in the world. So I think this campaign is important on so many levels. And as we're in the sixth mass extinction, the Anthropocene extinction, we need to really ask ourselves, how are we standing up to protect the jewels of biodiversity? How are we standing up to protect the keystone species of this land? Because without the keystone species, everything will collapse around it. So this is like a really monumental historical time period for us to stand for these salmon. And I'm just completely honored to work with Nidia and the Run for Salmon Prayer. So yeah, thank you. Thank you both for having me on.
Yeah, no, Ayana, you brought a really beautiful topic up that reminds me of this moment that I had here. I'm back in Oregon and I was spending time with family and so I'm not indigenous to the Pacific Northwest. My ancestry actually comes from Chihuahua, Mexico, what is now known as Chihuahua, Mexico, which is Rarámuri territory, and Michoacán, Mexico, which is the land of the Purépecha people. And so, but I do come from a food associated culture. You know, for us, corn is very sacred. It's very important. And I have seeds that have been brought down and that I will inherit. And so one of the things that I was doing this weekend is I was explaining to my mom, she's like, oh, you know, you're doing this project for the salmon. Like, well, what is so wrong with salmon going? Well, she didn't say what is so wrong with salmon going extinct, but she's like, tell me more about the salmon. I was like, Mom, can you imagine not eating tortillas, beans, and chili? She's like, oh, no. You know, she's like, oh my gosh, like, no, that wouldn't be Mexican. And so that's all I had to say to my mom. that is all I had to say to my mom and to my family. And they were like, oh no, like if we didn't have tortillas, things would be on fire right now, you know? And so that is what has connected me so much to this cause, is that I'm not Indigenous to the Pacific Northwest, but I do know the importance and how sacred corn is to my people, to my family, and how indebted I am to this plant for having sustained my ancestors and myself. And I can't imagine the loss that it, our relatives up here in the Pacific Northwest have been experiencing with the salmon populations being so endangered right now. And that is one of the things that has propelled me and continues to fuel me, being that I am responsible for protecting the land that raised me, which is the Pacific Northwest. And to do that, I need to stand with the relatives here and what is important to them. And for them, it's the salmon. And Ayana brought up a really good point about how there's no time to wait, because if there's one thing that we can learn from our ancestors is that they knew that they may not have known what lied ahead in the future, but they knew what they needed to do in the present moment. And the landscape that holds us now in California, in Washington, in Oregon, all up and down this Pacific side of Turtle Island has had salmon on it for thousands of years. I mean, this is a landscape, like Ayana was saying, you know, the redwoods that we have, all of these ecosystems that we benefit from have existed because of the presence of salmon. And so our inaction today, we will not see possibly in our lifetime the devastation that the ecosystems will experience. And so this is part of how we can also begin to decolonize and undo the wrecks of colonization, is by beginning to plan intergenerationally, and by knowing that our investment, our life energy today, should go towards projects that will benefit our descendants, whether we see that or not. And that is something that just to fuel me in supporting the Winnemem Wintu tribe and bringing back their salmon, is knowing that this is something that we have to do. You know, I remember sitting in the river with Ayana when we were all at Spear Urus, and just telling her, you know, like our descendants are we're gonna have a lot of explaining to do to our future generations. And I looked at Ayana and I said, you know, when my grandchildren come, whether they are my children or not, I want to be able to look them in the eye with dignity and with honor and tell them that I did everything that I could to make sure that this didn't happen, to make sure that the salmon didn't go extinct. And yeah, so just some food for thought about the importance of this project.
Super beautiful. Thank you both for sharing. And something that just keeps coming to mind is no matter what angle you look at this from, it's about humans reconnecting as sacred partners with the earth and with the land. And it's, you know, the Ayana speaks of the keystone species and how the salmon upholds all of the beings, plants and animals who live in that ecosystem and in those ecoregions. And here we have the Winnemem Wintu people who are, the salmon are their relatives, and the salmon are also a keystone species for them as a people, as a culture, and as a community, and they rely on the salmon. And so just no matter which angle you look at it, it's like, okay, this is really important to protect these keystone species, especially, you know, for now, the salmon in the Pacific Northwest. And if someone's living somewhere elsewhere besides the Pacific Northwest, I encourage them to research what are the keystone species in their own areas that need this protecting. But so can either of you share more about the connection between the Winnemem Wintu and the salmon and what their partnership and relationship looks like?
Sure. I know, Ayana, you just had a really beautiful conversation with Chief Sisk recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was, she is an incredible woman with so much wisdom, so much additional ecological knowledge, but also wisdom of modern day politics and policies. But I'll let you take this one and add on anything at the end.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. So, yeah, like I said, I've been working with, Chief Kelly for almost, I think it feels like decades, but it really only has been, close to 3 years, 2 years. I think it's a little bit over 2 years. And, the Winnemem Wintu actually have this really, powerful prophecy that I think really just bottom lines it all. And that prophecy is that the Winnemem people believe that if there are no more salmon, there will be no more Winnemem Wintu people. And so in essence, this project is about the salmon, but it's also, we're talking about the survival of a culture and the spiritual survival of a people. In the Winnemem Wintu creation story, Chief Kelly and Sisk talks about how in the beginning of their time, when they were created, Creator made all the species on their sacred spring, on their mountain, Buyum Puyuk, which is also known as Mount Shasta. And Chief says that the salmon were sent through the spring, and after the salmon went the humans. And when Creator sent the humans, the salmon that were ahead of them turned around and said, "This one looks like they're going to need a lot of help." So Chief says that the salmon gave humans their voice. And in return for having given them their voice, the Winnemem Wintu people promised to always speak for them. And so the Winnemem Wintu people, that is their sacred responsibility and covenant with their salmon, is to speak up for them and to take care of them and speak for them where they aren't heard. And that is what they're doing right now with this project, is speaking up for them.
Mm-hmm. And what a prophetic sacred contract they created in that springing from the spring, when they said, "Y'all need help, here's a voice. Help us back when it's time." So I'm curious, Ayana, I know you interviewed Colleen, and do you two get into this a little deeper? Is that story, do you guys expand upon this story more in your interview, in case listeners are like, "Oh yes, I want to get deeper into that"?
You know, we do expand a bit more on the story of the Winnemem Wintu and the salmon and the creation story, but we also really go into a lot of other modern day policies that are affecting the Winnemem Wintu as an unrecognized tribe in the state of California and all the other unrecognized tribes, because there were many, many, a huge diversity of tribes in California before the genocide that overtook many of these people. And when a tribe is federally unrecognized, as the Winnemem Wintu are, they're completely stripped of their ability to steward the lands that they had that sacred agreement with. So that's a really important part of this story for people who are interested in learning more. Another topic we really dive into is the policies around water in the state of California, because that's just a huge part of the this challenge with bringing back the salmon is who actually owns the water. Because if you think about it, water is life, as many of us have been privy to from Standing Rock. So whoever controls water ultimately controls life. And because of the industrial agricultural system that's in California, which California is, I believe, the seventh biggest economy in the world.
Wow.
So just like take that in for a minute. So with this huge power grab of blue gold. So first, you know, the gold rush came in and that was created a lot of the genocide for the native people. And now we have the blue gold, which is a whole nother genocide of the native species of this land, because this whole, you know, a lot of California is a desert, but we're putting this industrial agriculture like almond farms in the desert that are taking thousands of gallons from the river wild waterways of Northern California to feed this unsustainable industrial agricultural system. And so how does that affect the Winnemem Wintu? How does that affect the salmon? I mean, we have to really look at this. We have to kind of zoom in, I believe, and then zoom out at the same time. So we're understanding the intricacies and we're also understanding the bigger system of how this is even being allowed to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we really get into Proposition 1 and the Delta Tunnels and the Sacramento Delta Basin and how there's these huge projects being brought up right now in government that is going to take even more water, raise the Shasta Dam another 18 feet, which would drown 40 more sacred sites of the Winnemem Wintu people. So there, this prayer is complex, and I really encourage people to start delving into this a bit more and start to see and unravel all of these threads that is holding up a system that is not only destroying the Winnemem Wintu people, the salmon, but our forest and so many other species of fish and whatnot. But another thing I wanted to bring up that you had both touched on is this idea that Earth-based people have been connected to their non-human species ancestors. Like, it's what has allowed them to survive. And we all have that somewhere in our lineage, this Earth-based connection and species. Now, at this point, a lot of humans have been displaced to not being on their ancestral lands. But mm-hmm. I want to ask, like, well, what does that mean? Like, here I am, you know, mostly of Russian descent, and I live in Northern California. So how do I show up in Northern California as a non-native woman to this land, but also a woman who wants to stand for this land, its original people, and its species? And so, you know, you think about Mount Shasta, for instance, and there's so many people who are drawn to Mount Shasta as a sacred site. But what are they really doing to uphold this sacred site? How many people who you know, even make money on Mount Shasta through their spiritual practices or vision quest or things of that nature, are they standing up for the salmon or the Winnemem Wintu? And I just want to ask that not as a judgment, but as an invitation to say, if we want to, as like I'm speaking as a non-native person to this land, if I want to really show up in a way of integrity and stand for a keystone species that may not be my original ancestral keystone species, but nonetheless, I am in love with, how do I show up in this way? And no matter where we are at this point in time, I just think it's of utmost importance that we really devote our time, our privilege, and our energy towards protecting the land which we call home right now. And so I just want to say, with Mount Shasta and just the consequences of the spiritual appropriation that's happening there a lot of the times, I want to say, like, how do we actually show up for this sacred land, for this sacred water as visitors? And I think, you know, right now as a non-native person, I have the chance to stand up by supporting the Winnemem Wintu, by supporting the Run for Salmon campaign. Like, this is a direct, very easy, direct relation to how I can actually show up with integrity and truly show up in a sacred way for the sacred land. So that's just some thoughts that's been swirling around in my mind in this conversation.
No, yeah, that's very beautiful. I really appreciate the way that you present that, right? Because, a lot of us have been displaced from our ancestral lands or our fifth generation here, and we're on different territories that have different stories, you know, and different indigenous peoples with different cosmovisions. And so how do we reintegrate ourselves and reconnect with the land, and how do we honor the indigenous peoples of the land on which we live, and how do we honor the ecosystems that are now sustaining us? And I'm reminded of one of my aunties, Karina Gold. She's from Ohlone Nation and what's now known as Oakland, and she always says, you know, she says, "I challenge everyone to learn the names of your rivers and learn what's happening with your water where you live today." And to me, that's very interesting, because how many of us move from place to place or live in a community? How many of us know the names of our rivers? You know, how many of us know what's happening with our watersheds? Mm-hmm. And I think that right there is an amazing point to start, you know, is know the names of the mountains, know the names of Mother Earth's veins, you know, the rivers that feed us and that make it possible for us to bathe, to cook, to take care of ourselves, to take care of our families. And mm-hmm. So I think it's a small, to me, I see that as a really small and simple ask for people who are interested in becoming stewards or becoming, you know, more involved in the protection of their home, of the land that sustains them. And then second, I would say is listen to Indigenous peoples. They really, really know what's going on. And that's one of the things that I think, as, you know, as settler people, as migrant people, it's really essential for us to really listen to the tribes and really listen to leaders who are just, like Chief Kelly and Sisk, leading these really important battles for water and for the ecosystems. I remember one time we were at this rally, and I was listening to Chief speak, and she said, you know, they're a federally unrecognized tribe. They don't get money from the government, and they're not recognized as Indigenous peoples. You know, the Winnemem-Wintu tribe, in essence, I feel like, lands in a really unique spot, because they're Indigenous to the land that holds one of the largest reservoirs in California and possibly the country. I mean, the Shasta Dam holds an incredible amount of water that grows the food in California, you know, and we're talking about the breadbasket of the country. And so I remember Chief saying that the Indigenous battle for her is, you know, she's not out to make money. She's not out to do anything that's going to only benefit her or her people. You know, this fight and this battle for the salmon is a benefit for the ecosystems and for future generations. And that to me really moved me when I heard her say that. You know, she says, "We're not going to get anything from this. We're not," you know, and this is something that we're doing with our descendants in mind. You know, this is a battle. This is a project ultimately for life, you know, for survival. Because we're talking about the collapse, you know, in 50 years, I think scientific studies just came out with new statistics that in 50 years, we're talking about losing 50% of the salmon populations, like forever, going extinct. You know, I'm talking wow. about me being, you know, and I put myself there, you know, like, where will I be? I'll be 75 in 50 years. And I'll still be alive, you know, hopefully, you know, creators will be done, that I'll hopefully still be alive then. But I'm talking about, and I thought about the children, you know, I thought about the young ones in my life. I have a little niece. There's lots of little people in my life. I'm like, wow, when Nechai, when Valerie, when all these little people in my life are 50, they're not going to know. If we don't act now, they will have to read about salmon in books. They will have to look it up online. They will have to look it up in a book. And I'm like, we can't allow that to happen. Not on our watch, like Ayana says. You know, like, I want us to be able to take our descendants or our nieces and nephews to the river and say, look, they're the salmon. And you didn't have to read about it because we heard what was happening and we did something about it. And that is an image in my mind that really has been carrying me throughout this work as I continue to stand with the Winnemem. And for whatever else I decide to do, is I want to be able to tell my descendants, hey, look, I did something about it. Or if I couldn't, I want to be able to show them, look, I tried. You see that? You see that wound right there? You see that battle wound, that battle scar? I tried because I heard and I did something about it. And, you know, and you don't, not everybody has to be an activist. I mean, there's many ways to contribute to the movement, whether this is the way you decide to live, or whether you are a carpenter or a baker or a teacher or something else. You know, you don't have to be necessarily on the front lines of the movement to make a change. And I want to talk a little bit about the GoFundMe that we're doing right now, because I think that that's a powerful example of how you don't have to be out on the streets marching. You could do it right there on your computer.
You can, on your phone.
On your phone. You can spread the word on your phone. And one example I wanted to share is right now on the GoFundMe, we're seeing, which we raised $21,000, by the way, super excited, in just 17 days.
Oh, you there?
Correct. To restore this? Yeah. Okay. 65. There's a couple people on the GoFundMe that raised an additional $250, an additional $500 just from sharing the link.
That's amazing. Hello? I think you're coming in and out.
Hello?
There you are.
Oops.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I love that you all have set up. First of all, it's so important. If you need help, you ask for it. Second of all, you make a way for people to help you. You've got GoFundMe. And third of all, now you're sharing the story of what's of the salmon and why it's important and why it matters. And so anyone who's like, oh gosh, I need to help, I need to contribute, I want to do something, like, yes, raise. So tell us why you're raising money. What's the money for specifically? Because I think it's really cool.
Okay, yes, it's a really exciting project. So, it's been an uphill battle for Chief Kelly and the tribe because they're federally unrecognized. And what that means is that they don't get taken, they don't have the political power to have a seat at the table. And so for the past 17 years, Chief Kalleen has been tirelessly advocating, actually for longer, I think her whole life, to be honest. But she's been advocating for the past years to have a seat at the table with the BOR.
And tell, for people who don't know what that is, will you say that?
With the Bureau of Reclamation. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who are supposed to be working on restoring the salmon. And so they have proposed putting GMO salmon in the river, and they've also proposed doing truck and haul. And Kalleen has been telling them.
And truck and haul is they literally take the salmon out of the water and truck them around the dam so they can keep going. Is that what that is?
That's exactly what that is. And so the fish stop being wild at that point. If you have to truck and haul them, they stop being wild. And so Kellyanne, what Chief Kellyanne has been saying is, she says, why are you going to put GMO? Why are you going to truck and haul when we have this really amazing opportunity to do an ecosystem justice, to do a keystone species justice, and to do an indigenous peoples that have been displaced justice, to give them their fish back? And so she's been advocating to bring back the salmon that were taken to New Zealand. Pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's the descendants of the original salmon from the McLeod River, which was dammed up. It's exactly. Really cool. Really cool.
It's a really special project because, you know, it's bringing back the salmon that were put there by creator, you know, like mm-hmm. in their story, those fish were created there at the spring. And so this is a really unique and powerful example of a project that is being led by traditional ecological knowledge and that is also backed by Western science. Because right now, Western science is saying that if we want to help the salmon survive climate change, it's going to be important for us to restore the winter runs.
Yeah.
And why is it going to be important for us to restore the winter runs? Because those are the fish that spawn higher. They spawn up in higher elevations in cooler temperatures.
Right. And warm waters will actually kill the salmon.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is a really unique opportunity. Just do the right thing. And we last year, as a result of our Run for Salmon prayer, which is a two-week long prayer vigil led by, it's an intertribal prayer. It's led by Chief Kellyanne Sisk, and she's supported by Auntie Pua Case, who's Mauna Kea, protector of the Sacred Mountain in Hawaii, and Karina Gold, who's a sacred sites protector in the Bay Area, and Auntie Winona LaDuc also. And so this prayer was a prayer for the water, and it started in the Bay Delta estuary that is being threatened by the proposal of the Delta tunnels. And the Delta estuary is the largest estuary in the Pacific side of Turtle Island. So these tunnels are, you know, this is a multi-issue intertribal prayer because we're talking about also standing to protect that estuary that is being threatened by the Delta tunnels. And so as a result of this prayer, we went off script when we got to Sacramento. We went not totally off script and decided to do a direct action at the BOR since we were in the city anyway. We're like, let's just go and just tell them, give them a piece of our minds. So we did a direct action at BOR and someone came out and Chief Kellyanne talked to them and they agreed to begin meeting with her. And this was a really important time because at this point, news was starting to spread worldwide about Standing Rock. So finally, our indigenous relatives were being heard about how important water is and how important it is to stand up and protect it. And so Chief Kellyanne and the tribe continued to meet with the Bureau of Reclamation. And they agreed. They said, okay, fine, we'll try your project. We'll invest money in it. They still haven't. We're waiting, you know, we're waiting for them to do it. But they gave us their word that they were going to put money towards the project. And because the Winnemem-Wintu tribe is unrecognized, we're having to raise an additional $85,000 to cover the fees for the biologists to collect the DNA samples in New Zealand. That was one of the requirements that the BOR and NOAA Fisheries put on us was, okay, you have to prove that these are winter run salmon that came from the McLeod. And the only way to do that is to do a genetic sampling. So that's what we're doing, is we're trying to raise funds so we can do that this season. Because right now, the winter run salmon, the descendants of the McLeod River fish, are beginning their run upstream in New Zealand. And so we have to do that now. We have to raise this money now, like today.
Like right now.
Like right now.
Cool. And so the $85,000 goes to sending specialists to go collect the data and analyze it about whether these really are the genetic descendants of the McLeod River salmon so that they can come back home so you can build a river, what is it called?
A swimway
around the dam. And so these salmon can continue to thrive in the McLeod River as they are meant to be.
Yes, and to be wild, you know, this is going to be this is a multi-year, multi-phase project. And I mean, New Zealand fisheries, they have proof that these salmon are from the McLeod River. Yeah. They said, we brought these salmon from California. How do we know it's the McLeod River? Well, this is the only glacier-fed river in the state. Mm. And the BOR, I think, lost documentation, so they just want to make sure. So they're having us do this genetic sampling phase. And we're excited. So the first 60,000 is going to go to funding the biologists for this project so they can build the traps, train their biologist, and collect the samples. And our stretch goal is 25,000, and that 25,000 is going to go towards funding California Indigenous Youth and Chief Sisk to travel to New Zealand to take part in this really special, really historic moment of collecting the DNA samples of their salmon relatives, which I think is just like, come on. If that doesn't move your heart, I don't know if you mean anything.
Yeah. Beautiful. And in case someone is listening and they want to donate right now, what's the link that they can go to?
So right now we're also doing this really awesome picture campaign, and we're asking everybody to make a pretty sign. You can make it colorful or whatever, however you want to make it, that reads, "Bring our salmon home." And the GoFundMe short link is bit.ly/salmonwillrun. And so it's bit.ly and then the forward slash, not a dash. It's the one that stands up and leans a little bit. Is that the slash?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forward slash all lowercase salmon will run, because that is our mantra. You know, we believe the salmon will run and that we will do everything that we can to make that happen. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And so I'm curious too, because Ayana brings a perspective to this that I think, you know, it's, well, I want to ask Ayana about what would happen or could happen if this keystone species wasn't nurtured and protected and put back into this river. But before that, I also want people to listen, and with this listening, as they're listening, to connect with, like, okay, even if you don't live in the Pacific Northwest, or if you're not Indigenous, why does this matter to you? And what's the bigger picture of this? Because this is something that I think could get easily kind of just pushed aside, but it's actually got much bigger impacts. And as you said, it links back to the water feeding the crops of California that feeds our nation. And how can we, you know, there's just so much. I'm like, okay, people can buy local, people can do other things to stop putting so much pressure on California to produce too. But back to the ecosystem there, Ayana, what could happen? Let's paint a picture for us of what could happen if we did not nurture and nourish this keystone species.
Yeah, it's a really big question that honestly the whole world is facing right now. In every ecosystem across the globe, we're having these cascading effects, these cascading collapses. So what could happen? Well, the salmon, like I said earlier, they are the fertilizers of these forests. They feed the soil, they feed the trees, they feed the mammals, they feed the microbes, they feed the fungi. It's all, and it's a domino effect. It's like a Jenga, you know, you can imagine the game of Jenga. When you start to pull out the blocks, some blocks you can pull out and it's not a full structure, but it still stands. Some blocks you pull out and the whole thing falls down. that's what we're talking about here. When we pull out keystone species, an entire ecosystem could collapse. Well, what does that mean? That means that the trees that have been growing here, the redwoods, the great conifers, the Douglas fir, the cedar, Sitka spruce, these trees need salmon. The bear, where are they going to get their food from? Like, we just have to ask ourselves, this is the food of the forest. Who is replacing the food? Are we going to start spraying chemical fertilizers in the forest? Which, by the way, that does happen in plantation forests that are monocropping a commodified tree like the Douglas fir. What are we going to replace this ecosystem service with? Because that's really what nature does. Nature does so much for, like, quote, free. Nature doesn't charge for cleaning the air. Nature doesn't charge us for clean water from springs. That's not something that we're actually having to pay the mountain for. Yet we're having to pay corporations own it, you know, who have commodified it. So it's like, I look at it as a whole system approach. And I think we really have to look at things like that. Nothing is disconnected from the bigger system at this point in this globalized, capitalistic world. And so, and you know, one thing I wanted to speak of too, and I'll get back to the ecosystem, but Nidia said, you know, we don't all have to be activists. And I don't agree with that. I agree that we don't all have to be on the front lines. But I absolutely agree that we all have to be activists. But activists can mean a lot of different things, like Nidia was saying. It doesn't mean you have to be on the front lines. It doesn't mean you have to be holding posters at a climate rally or a women's march. But it means that we have to actually be engaged. It means that we actually have to show up time and time and time again. Because the bottom line is, nobody is going to do it for us. We do not have a government in place. We do not have corporations in place that have the earth's or the species or human best interest at heart. So we are living under a system that their interest is in money. Their interest is in a bottom line of making money. It is not on biodiversity. It is not on health for any species. So When I say we all have to be activists, I actually mean that all of our lives are depending on us showing up. Because maybe you think, oh, well, the salmon in the Winnemem-Wintu and Mount Shasta, like, I don't live there, so it's not really going to affect me. That's just not true. It's just not true. Everything is affecting everything at this point. And that's why when we look at things like climate change and we go, well, it's snowing here more, but it's raining there less. And it's in this climate chaos and we're in this biodiversity loss. We have to stand up everywhere right now and we have to support these projects. So when I look at what's happening with the Winnemem-Wintu, I don't live in Mount Shasta. But I also understand that if Mount Shasta and the McLeod River and the Winnemem-Wintu people don't have the ability to protect their salmon, at some point that's going to affect the forest that I live in. And I don't think that we should do it for that reason. I don't think that we should do things because we think it's going to affect us at the end of the day. I would actually prefer if everybody stands up because that is what's in their integrity to do. It's like, what are we going to do during this time? We're going to link hands and we're actually going to put our entire life force into the service of protecting this earth. Because what else are we going to do? Honestly, I believe that everything else to do other than protecting the earth is completely unfulfilling. I think that when you're not doing service work,
tell them, Ayana.
What that feels like is chronic dissatisfaction. When we're just feeding ourselves and we're just feeling this empty void in us because we're disconnected from life itself, that just breeds this feeling of lethargy, this feeling of like, ugh, like, what am I doing with my life? So if anybody out there is listening, I'm like, gosh, like I used to feel that. I used to feel that before I devoted myself to the earth, where I was like, I don't know, you know, da, 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 da. And I kind of just had this like blasé feeling in my life. And it's a horrible feeling because I think that we all want to feel connected. We all want to feel like we are a part of this world and we are loved and we love and we're in a reciprocal relationship. And so when we're talking about reciprocal relationships, that's looking at our relatives in the McLeod, in Mount Shasta, and the reciprocal relationship is like, I see you. And not only do I see you, but I'm going to do something about your suffering. I'm going to donate for the Run for Salmon. I'm going to figure out how to help salmon rehabilitation. I'm going to go into my neighborhood and realize what kind of pressures I put on the water sources in my own life if you think, oh, well, this salmon thing doesn't affect you, but you live in Los Angeles, it directly affects you. In Mexico, in all over the world, like we were saying, California is the seventh biggest economy. It's the bread basket. I mean, the vegetable basket, so to speak. So, we are all of our hands are in this. Mm-hmm. And I also would say that if we don't start stepping up and we don't start protecting and if we don't start creating new systems that are regenerative, and are actually sustainable. And I don't mean greenwash sustainable. I don't mean buying seventh generation soap sustainable. I mean, actually, like, how do we recreate the system? Not recreate. How do we create new systems with, guided by traditional ecological knowledge of the people of the land and with, you know, our brains and our creativity in mind? Because I really believe this is a two-pronged approach. One, it's taking down the system that's in place. And that means breaking the privatization of water, going to the system and saying these corporations are not allowed to own the water. It also looks like dam removal. We need to remove the dams. There are 70,000 dams in the United States. So when we still have fossil fuels like we do now, because we're not always going to have fossil fuels in the way we have, when we do still have them, that means taking down the dams with the fossil fuels that are left. So that's what I'm talking about, taking down the system. But the regenerative system is like permaculture. The regenerative system is community building. The regenerative system is localizing our lives. So I think that there are so many ways to be a part of this movement right now, and everybody is needed. Everybody's gifts and talents and uniqueness is needed in this movement. And I think the more that we give ourselves fully to the service of this earth, the more that we will actually feel fulfilled in our own lives. And I just, like I said, being a part of the Run for Salmon prayer has fulfilled me so much, knowing that I can do my part in just being here for the Winnemowintu people, for the salmon, for the bears, for Mount Shasta, for the pine trees, for the beautiful, beautiful wildflowers that need this water and need the salmon to allow them to live and flourish. Like that is like a true gift in life, to be able to serve these bigger life ways. So I just want to say thank you both. And Nidia, thank you so much for the work that you're doing with this campaign, because this campaign is also a model. I think it's also practice for us to learn how to join hands, to learn how to be in community, to learn how to support each other. And so, I want to say thank you for helping bringing all these people together. Nidia has been building all these bridges, because we need that right now. We need bridge building so that we can we can continue to build this movement and fuel each other's fires.
Yes.
Fist pump.
Fist pump. Ayana, that was beautiful.
So yes, and I love that it is a model being created. And so it's like, okay, this model, this is a test, and it's also real life, and what we can take from this model we can apply to other situations in other places where species or water or people are threatened and need us to stand up. And how can we improve the way that we do this, and how can we bring it in a way that's like unstoppable? How do we do that? I don't know all the answers, but we're asking the questions and we're taking the steps. And this is a great example of like, okay, here's a big chance to do it. So let's do it and do it to the very best and take these lessons and learn and reapply and repeat, repeat, repeat. So yeah, yes. I love that point about that.
Yeah. And I just want to add that, I mean, this is in support of Chief Sisk and the tribe. You know, this is an indigenous led prayer, but this is a cause that involves so many more people than just the tribe. You know, I hear sometimes a lot of people, you know, saying, yeah, let's help the Winnemem, let's help the fish. But ultimately, this is about helping ourselves. You know, I was raised in Oregon, and I'm very fortunate that our water here in Oregon has not been privatized. They're trying to privatize the water. They're trying to do bad things to the water. But if we don't stand with our relatives in California, in the breadbasket of the world, to help protect their water and their salmon, those battles are going to come to our front lines at home. You know, if we don't take a stand against the Delta tunnels, in protection of the salmon, in protection of the water, it's like a plague. It's just a matter of time before these causes come knocking on our door. And that is right now. We have to stand together. We have to build those bridges. We have to be in this hand in hand, and we have to see ourselves reflected in this work. You know, I mean, whether you eat organic, whether you eat not organic, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, 99% of the food that is grown in our country is produced in California. Don't get me wrong. I know that at least it's over 90%. So there is no way that you being on the East Coast, I mean, people who shop on the East Coast, I challenge you all to look, read the labels and read where your food is coming from. And I guarantee that at least 70% of the food that you put in your cart, the fresh fruit, is going to have a California label. Well, guess what? Those crops, I guarantee you, were watered by the water that is harvested by the Shasta Dam. So, I mean, this issue really, it's a nationwide issue. It's a global issue because, you know, so many of the crops that are grown in California are shipped worldwide. And mm-hmm. So we are more connected to this issue than we even can imagine. And so this ultimately is about helping ourselves. And I mean, I'm reminded of this beautiful talk that I heard Chief Sisk give one time, and how she was mentioning, she was dreaming up this vision of what if we could make the economy in California a salmon economy? What if we could work with the ecosystems and with the rivers and with the salmon to make an economy out of what was an economy in that state for thousands of years? Mm-hmm. You know, what if we stopped fighting nature? What if we stopped trying to grow crops in the desert and just listened to the land and listened to what that land has been growing and carrying for thousands of years? What if we could learn to work with species that have been there and learn to readapt to the land? Because ultimately, that's what we're talking about. Right now, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the survival of our generation. Mm-hmm. And in order to make this easier for us, in order to make this easier for our generations, we're going to have to do this whether we like it or not. You know, we're no longer at a point where we get to choose. Sadly, you know, I feel like Mother Earth has been so patient with us. She's been so patient with us, given us so much time to try and figure it out, you know, to try and listen to her, to try and listen to the plant relatives and the other species that have been here and that have grown and adapted with her in their ecosystems. And it's just a matter of time before we experience like a collapse or something, really, the way that we're treating Mother Earth, the way that we're destroying her, the way that we're destroying our rivers, the way that we're disconnected. It's really sad.
I would like to say that we're in the collapse already, but it's just that it's not, you know, the mass media doesn't look at it, and it's not something that's like necessarily as dramatic at this point as you would think in like Hollywood movies, but that the collapse has already begun with, you know, mass extinctions and with polluted water and polluted air and nutrient depleted soils and displaced peoples and all this. I mean, this is like, this is real. It's already here.
Yeah. It really is. But there's, I mean, there's still hope.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's like, okay, we got to like form these coalitions. We got to figure out how do we effectively stand up and unite coast to coast, country to country, and how do we collectively come together for causes that do support ecosystems such as ones that that nourish and protect keystone species, and how do we put our action and energy where it matters, and how do we unite and see that this is something that we have to face as a collective, that we're not just individuals lone wolfing it anymore. This is us together now.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And I do feel like there is also, you know, in the face of the collapse, there's also this mass awakening that's happening right now with powerful people coming together with other powerful people and even average people coming together hand in hand and making things happen. I mean, look at what our relatives were able to accomplish at Standing Rock. And I think just last week, there is a ruling in the favor of the tribe. And some people will say, oh, yeah, well, you didn't stop the pipeline. But it's like, look at the beautiful thing, the beautiful awakening that happened because of it. And look at what's continuing to happen. And so I think that we're at such a special time right now to take action. You know, our generation is being called to be the bravest, the boldest, the most courageous generation, because it's really in our hands to live differently and to do something different. We've already seen, we've already have perfect examples at how not to live. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been taught how not to live. We've been taught the consequences of disconnection, the consequences of not taking care of Mother Earth. And now it's time that our generation really reconnects and lives a different way. You know, there's this quote that I saw this morning that one of my good sisters posted on her Instagram, and it's this beautiful picture. And on it, it says, "When did you forget that you couldn't live without the earth?" And so that really inspired me, because I don't feel like that applies to me at all. I definitely see my interconnectedness and my reliance. And I see myself reflected in the land. I see myself, I feel myself as part of the land. And I feel like there's a lot of us who are doing that and who are stepping up and who are rising and reconnecting with our essence and just reminding our relatives, reminding everybody that we can't live without the earth. The earth comes first, beyond anything, you know, like everybody drinks water, everybody eats food. Mm-hmm. This is what sustains our life, and we need to stand for that.
Hey, so something else, you know, the indigenous people, someone might be, I'm just keep having the like devil's advocate in my head saying, but why should I care? And, you know, as the like in the view of what someone in the general public might think, and really the one huge reason to care about these indigenous led prayers and causes is that these indigenous people lived on the land with the land successfully for thousands of years, and they know what the heck is up. They know what's up. We need to encourage and support them and listen. And that's why it's so important to support these indigenous causes, no matter who you are, because they know the answers. And together with whatever we can do with our modern technology, if it can help, then we can combine this for the best of all the worlds to create that new vision that Ayana speaks of. Ayana, go ahead.
No, and that's the beauty of the Run for Salmon prayer. and this campaign that we're doing this month is that this is a project that is led by Indigenous peoples. This is Indigenous knowledge being put at the front, and it's supported and backed up by science. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is also a beautiful example of the power and the beauty of bringing both bodies of knowledge together for something really powerful and for something really special that's going to affect and benefit us and our descendants. Mm,
beautiful.
Donate now.
Donate now. The calls, the lines are ringing. I can hear the... so yeah, that's bit.ly/... Is it Salmon Will Run, right?
Yeah. Salmon Will Run. You could also go on Instagram or Facebook and get on our website. On the website, it's run, R-U-N, number 4, salmon. Run, mm-hmm. number 4, salmon. Run for salmon. And the story behind the name is that this is a reminder. This is Chief Kelly and Sisk's reminder that, you know, we're trying to restore one salmon run, but we're also not going to let go of that ancestral memory that there used to be 4 runs of salmon year round. Mm. And so although we're fighting to restore one run, this is a reminder that, hey, one's good, but there used to be 4. So don't forget that.
Mm. And one's a start.
But one's a start. And that's mm-hmm. what our generation is going to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. So I hope people are inspired to do something. So things that people can do are, of course, donate, share some, there's some great little facts and tidbits that you can find, on some of the sites on the Run for Salmon Instagram and on their Facebook. And Neria has some great stuff she could probably send you if you really want some, but really important. You can donate $5, $100, $10,000, whatever you have sitting around. And also, you can, once you donate, you can get a link that you can share on Facebook. And as she mentioned earlier, when you share that link, it tracks how many more people donate through you. So you can see the collective power you have to help raise money. And that's really cool. So you can share that specific link that you get after you donate to Facebook and see, like, oh my gosh, my one share helped raise another $300 or something. You know, that's pretty cool. And you can also make a sign, bring our salmon home, with, and then at the bottom put the link to bit.ly/salmonwillrun and post that to Instagram and share a little bit about this story and about how, you know, I don't think we even shared that many of the astonishing facts about the salmon, about how few are left from the original salmon that run. I mean, it's astonishing really when you get into this, but people can read about that and check it out. So are there any other ways that people can support this cause?
Yeah. Put a film screening on at your community and educate your people about what's going on.
Nice. And so people can get access to that. If you go to the GoFundMe, if you do that, then there's information that's like a portal that leads to all the rest of your dreams.
Yeah. You can also look it up online, GoFundMe/salmon will run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Yeah, that's another beautiful thing you can do, is that this doesn't have to be boring. This can be fun. We can use our gifts. We can use our talent to raise awareness and do something about it. You know, I feel like a lot of people are discouraged from activism or from getting politically engaged because it seems and may sound dry, but I mean, this can be absolutely fun. You know, everybody has so much to give. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own talents, their own unique ways, unique gifts that they were sent down with. And you can use that. You know, if you like to make pies, make a pie, like make pies and sell pies. And you can sell your pies with a little flyer that talks about the salmon. Mm-hmm. And probably you can connect that some of the fruit was watered by the water that was collected at the Shasta Dam.
I love that.
You know, there's different ways of, you know, you can make art. You can make art about salmon. You can write a song about salmon. One of our biggest supporters right now is Nacho Bear from Medicine for the People. He sings about it. He sings about the salmon. You know, another great supporter is a bike rider, and he contributed on the Run for Salmon by coordinating the bike path. He's like, yes, I love salmon and I love to bike. I will coordinate the bike part of the run. Knuckle Bear and Winona LaDuke, they're like, I love horse riding. I want to help coordinate the horse ride part. You know, we have boat riders, boat lovers who are like, yeah, I'll get the boats. I'm a boater. You know, everybody has something to contribute. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely Beautiful. No doubt about that. So I encourage everybody to really connect with what brings you to life. For me, it happens to be advocacy and protecting water and species and my community and everybody. For some people, it could just be writing a song. But as long as you continue to wake people up, because that's what is needed right now, is for people to know what's going on. You know, there's so much money being put into keeping us distracted, into mm-hmm. keeping us unaware of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I have complete faith that when people begin to realize how connected we all are, when we start to remember how important it is for us to come together in this time, we're going to make beautiful things happen. Mm. There's just no way. There's no way we can't do that.
Awesome. And Ayana, do you have anything to add as we wrap this up?
Well, I just want to reach out to the salmon through these interwebs, mm-hmm. and I feel them here with us. And I am a believer that this earth and all of her species feels this love, feels when we are engaged, feels when we talk with them, sing to them, drum to them, love them, support them. And they also feel when we don't do those things. And so I just want to close it out for me by saying that I really feel so honored to do this work with these salmon that are like gods to me. And they're such a spectacular, giving, generous species. And it completely fills my being to work in service of them and to have this kin relationship with them as my family and friends and lovers. So I just want to thank Natalie. Thank you so much for facilitating this conversation. And Nidia, thank you so much for your badass work and your tireless work. And Nidia has been working, you know, sleepless nights to support this prayer. So there's incredible people, and you know, I just have to say there's probably really wonderful grassroots people in everybody who's listening in their area. So just keep being engaged, keep showing up, and we can all do this together. You know, we can all do this together, and we can do it while we're celebrating. You know, I know it can be really heavy news when we're talking about these very big global issues, but we can do it by being in love. We can do it in celebration. We can do the work in mm-hmm. laughter. You know, we can cry together, sing together, laugh together, joke together, all the way while we're doing this really intense work. So it doesn't just have to be one way or another, but we can bring our full selves to the table. And I think it's you know, that's the way of the future of this movement. So thank you both. And yeah, it's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Natalie. This has been really amazing. This has been so, so, so good.
Yeah.
And thank you, Ayana, too. I know that you do really, really powerful work. And, you know, I'm so grateful to meet the both of you and to be in connection with you all, because we're going to grow old and we're going to do this work together. You know, like, sometimes I get tired and I'm in my mid-20s. And then I look at Chief Kelly and Sisk. I look at Winona. I look at Pua Case and Karina Gold. And I'm like, I can't be tired. Like, these elders are working tirelessly. And they've been doing this my whole life. You know, like, they you know, it just puts it into perspective for me. It's like, wow, I'm 25 and I'm tired. But, you know, I get tired, but then I go through waves because then I look at them and I'm re-inspired. And then I connect and have these beautiful conversations that are just restorative. And then not suddenly I'm not so tired. Suddenly I'm reminded of the love and the connection that I experienced through this work and the beauty of it. And it's just like, no, like, this is beautiful. This is magic. Like, we have so much collective power together, and it's just, it's going to be beautiful. And I'm so excited to see how we manifest this beautiful prayer and reality that we both hold so dear to our hearts.
Beautiful. Thank you both. Thank you both for all you do and for being willing to coordinate coming on to make this special episode so we could help the salmon be restored to these sacred waters with these people. And for all of us, it's incredible. And and I think this episode is really amazing because we talk a lot about the salmon and the Pacific Northwest, but so much of what we've talked about is applicable to anyone, anywhere, in a way that they can take some of these concepts and use them as lenses to look through in their own ecoregions and with their own keystone species and their own indigenous peoples in their land, wherever they live, and they can use these concepts to open their eyes to the greater picture that's going on around them right there in their own homes. So it's powerful not only to help the salmon, but to spread these ideas of the power of the collective and the different ways we can interact with and partner with each other and the earth to bring about these new visions and ways. So super, super excited to hear what kind of inspirations come out of this. But so listeners, there's you can go to bit.ly/salmonwillrun to donate, and you can, that donations end June 30th. And so get on it. hurry.
Go now. Drop everything you're doing and donate today.
And say a prayer for the salmon as you do it. In your heart, really feel it and send them the greatest vision of this being restored. Hold that vision in your heart, because that's part of this prayer and part of the way that we are activists in this kind of collective. And also... So Ayana, if anyone hasn't heard Ayana's podcast, For the Wild, it used to be Unlearn and Rewild, and now it's For the Wild. In case no one's ever heard of it, then hop on over and listen to her podcast, because not only will she have an episode coming out with Colleen Sisk, the leader of the Winnemem Wintu, but she also has amazing other episodes that are just like, whoa, they'll get you really pumping your fist and out there on the streets and in your forests and in your communities doing things. So check out For the Wild. It's on iTunes. It's forthewild.world. So there's a lot of stuff for people to do from listening. So everyone, this is all going to be in the show notes at dreamfreedombeauty.com/salmon. And if anyone has questions, can people reach you, Nidia? Can they reach out to you, or who's the best person to reach out to if they have a way to help, or if they have questions?
Yeah, you can go to, there's a website, it's run4salmon.org, run4salmon.org, and if you want to volunteer, you can reach us through there. You can also reach us on Facebook at the Run for Salmon Facebook, or you can direct message us on Instagram, and yeah, we can talk about how you want to contribute. Cool. That's definitely a possibility.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you can also find our GoFundMe link in our Instagram bio and all over our Facebook page. So there's different ways to get connected and get more information. Also, you can Google GoFundMe /salmonwillrun, and that will take you to the page as well. The bit.ly is the shorter link, but you can also just do www.gofundme.com/salmonwillrun, and that will take you to the page as well. We're doing the cutoff on June 30th, but of course, if we don't make our goal within that time, then we'll continue to raise funds until
we can make this happen. Awesome. So donate today, but there'll also be a way to donate after June 30th. So stay tuned.
All right. But it's important there is this timeline, this deadline on purpose, because the winter run salmon in the Southern Hemisphere are running, and that's who they need to test. So there is an ecological deadline of sorts that June 30th is really aligned with that. So I definitely encourage people to just donate right now.
Yes, the ecological deadline is real.
Yeah, totally.
The salmon are not going to wait. They're going to run. And and those salmon are not going to wait. And the salmon here in California, they can't wait. You know, this is in 2015, only 1% of the salmon returned.
It's amazing.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary. And we can't. That's not okay. We can't let that happen.
It's insane is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. All right, then. Thank you both so much for showing up today and sharing and caring. Sharing is caring. And yeah, I think that we've given our listeners quite a bit to think about and to act on. And just want to say thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Natalie and Nidia. Talk to you soon.
Yes.
Yes.